Blog Talk Radio.
Crash landing, hitting the ground running, Lee and Keys, Real Talk, episode 101. I just want to say one thing, is that pretty soon, you know, later on this summer, Lee and Keys, you know, for a long time, for the past 100 episodes, now 101 episodes, we've only been on Blog Talk Radio, but we are in the works of being on Spotify will be next, and then shortly after that, we will be on every major podcast platform. So expect Lee and Keys to be available on pretty much anything that you can listen to a podcast on by late summer. So I just wanted to announce that so everybody is aware. We will be a lot more of an accessible show in the coming month, 1 to 2 months-ish, somewhere around there. So, yeah, that's my opening announcement right there. What up, Lee? All right. So, we might be having some technical difficulties right there. I'm just trying to figure out where Lee is at, but that's all good. You know, we missed some time on the show. We probably missed like 1 or 2 weeks. I was just on vacation for a minute, so I just got back from vacation. I was actually out in Nashville, Tennessee. You know, I had planned a bachelor party for my brother who's getting married, and he's going to be getting married next month in July. So I'm the best man for that, and I had to bring him out and do something memorable.
Yo, yo, yo.
You know, it's all about, you know, I had to bring him out and do something memorable. So I was just out in Nashville, Tennessee, and we just had a really great time, and we just got back. So we missed a little bit of the show, but, you know, it was all for a good cause. And now we're back in action. What up, Lee?
Yo, can you hear me? Yo, what up, bro?
Yeah, there was something going on before. I think you were frozen in time.
I hope not.
Yeah, you was in between dimensions.
That's okay. I'm here now.
You ever see that movie, Interstellar?
No.
All right, well, you got to look that up after we get off the air. And that was what you were just doing right there. It's like...
Yeah, some sort of...
You got to
look up
the trailer for the movie.
Yeah, for some strange reason, I was connected, but then you couldn't hear me. So then I don't know, man. It's all good. I'm here now, so... Episode 101, you know. I heard you tell people about our move to Spotify later this summer.
Yeah, so I was hoping that I could get that message out today. And I wanted to just get it out right off the bat before we get into anything else and before I somehow forgot. So we don't want to forget to get that announcement off. So what I just told them, and I know you heard it, but just to reiterate that, we'll be – moving over to Spotify, that is going to be the first platform that we move on to, and then from there we're going to expand out even more, and we're going to be on every major podcast platform. So you will be able to find Lee and Keys Real Talk anywhere that you would listen to a podcast. We will be on there. So expect us to be a lot more accessible of a show by late summer. Within the next 1 to 2 months, we will be everywhere.
Yeah, you know, it's time to branch out, do things bigger and better. You know, it's time to, take our, move our show up to a bigger platform, you know, so we can get more ears, you know, probably reach out to more people, expand our audience. You know, that's the move that we're looking at doing. You know, Blog Talk has, you know, it took us a while to get used to it. You know, maybe about 1 or 3 episodes to get used to how things work up there. Then we figured it out. But, you know, with all good things, sometimes they come to an end, and our relationship with Blog Talk will come to an end. But we're looking for a new partnership with Spotify, and, you know, we'll keep doing what we're doing. And all y'all that follow us now, keep following us, keep supporting us, and just stay tuned. Follow us on Twitter to get the updates. And we're going to keep making it happen.
That's a fact. That's a fact. You know, we, with every platform, you know, we always want to, we have a good relationship with every platform. We appreciate, you know, especially here. This is where everything started. This will have been where everything started when we look back. I mean, it is, and it will be. So just looking back, we'll always know Blog Talk Radio is how we is where we hit the ground running with our podcast. You know, that this was the place of origin. So this is home for now, and soon you'll be listening to us on Spotify, and then soon after that, you'll be probably listening to us on Apple Music or wherever iTunes, actually, yeah, probably iTunes. Might even be before that, so who knows which order, but we're coming. And just know we're coming and we're going everywhere. So everybody got to keep putting out good content because we're coming to be that competition. So you better keep your game up because we're coming. Lean Keys is hey, look at this. Lean Keys is breaking down the walls, man. We're breaking through the wall like Kool-Aid Man. We are breaking through like Kool-Aid Man.
That's right, bro. We got to, you know, man, it's been fun. Like we said, our show was fun. You know, normally in the summer, normally have a few hiatuses due to vacations and getting out of traveling and stuff like that. But, you know, after the summer, you know, we'll be more consistent with our shows, you know, hopefully give you guys one a week, maybe two, depending on how things go. But, you know, we're here right now, so let's jump into it, man. You know, there's a lot of stuff that happened since the last time we talked.
So, off top, I think we only, I want to say we just missed, I want to say we missed one show. In one event that we missed covering, which was the Korean Zombie fight. I'm pretty sure that's the only event we missed if we're talking like one show per every 1 week for every one UFC event. We would have only missed the zombie fight. And I didn't even get to watch it. That event was on when I was in Nashville. And at the same time that the zombie fight was on, I don't know if they aired it, if the events were on at the same time. But I know it was the same day. You had the zombie fight. You had the I want to say Bellator was on that day too, or maybe the day before. Yeah, I think Bellator was on the day before. So you had Bellator, then you had the zombie card, and then you had the bare knuckle boxing fight with Artem Lobov and Paulie Malignaggi, and those were all like the same. It was all that weekend.
Yep.
So, and to wrap that up, if you know, I'm sure most people know this by now, because I was almost a week ago now, but, you know, Korean Zombie knocked out Moicano, which was, I mean, I didn't expect him to win by KO. I mean, I was rooting for Zombie, but, I mean, I thought it could go either way. I definitely didn't expect him to knock him out cold the way he did and so quick. I really thought the fight would have went a couple more rounds, because Moicano is usually more durable than that, but it just and it seemed like in his last two outings, he's been getting caught. That's really what's been happening. He's been getting caught, and I mean, I guess you could attest that to the level of competition he's been fighting too. I mean, his two losses in a row to two really high level guys. I mean, people forgot Korean Zombie was one of the best featherweights before he more or less left the sport for a time when he went to go do his, I think he was doing military service.
Yeah, his military obligation.
Yeah, so before he went away, people might have forgot that Korean Zombie was one of the best featherweights at that time, and he actually fought for the title when Aldo was the champion. So he was one of the best guys, and people, you know, might have just forgot that he's still high-level featherweight and probably one of the best featherweights right now. And so that that was there. And then, you know, before that, Moicano fought Aldo, and Aldo stopped him. So we'll see what happens with Moicano. But I still think he could, I bet we'll see him come back around. You know, he'll get a fight and have an impressive performance. I think in his next fight, we'll see who they match him up with next. But I think he'll be coming back around soon.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked that with the Moicano fight, you know, Korea Zombie is a tough guy. You know, his fight against Jair Rodriguez, he was 1 second away from actually winning that fight. But Moicano, you know, depending on how he look at his next fight, we may have to be honest with ourselves. Maybe he wasn't as good as we thought he was. Or it may have been the level of competition he was fighting at the time. So, but his last two opponents been top five guys in the division. Even though Korean Zombie isn't ranked top five, he did fight for the belt at one time against Aldo. So he is a top-notch fighter. And, you know, one thing about the UFC, once you start moving up in the ranks, the competition gets a little stiffer. And sometimes guys get exposed when the competition gets stiffer. So we'll see what happens with Moicano, who they match him up with next. We'll see what happens with him. But Korean Zombie caught him, man. It was a well-placed punch. It was in short distance with a lot of force. And it was just a good start. It was a good punch, man. He caught him. I mean, I think that's what Moicano's plan was to smother Korean Zombie and make him fight in tight windows. And lo and behold, you know, he caught him with a shot, and it was all over.
And also, I just want to add in one thing. I just read this on Twitter, and this is kind of just hilarious. So if you go to – this is completely off topic of what we're talking about, but it has to do with – if you type in the last – all right, so Israel Adesanya, you know – He calls himself a style bender, or the last style bender, right? If you type in thelaststylebender.com and you go to that site, it actually redirects you to robertwhittaker.com. So they're saying Whittaker bought Adesanya's website. Or he bought the site that was thelaststylebender.com. Now it goes, when you click that, thelaststylebender.com, it loads Robert Whittaker's website. You see him sitting there with the, I think he's with the belt, and it says UFC middleweight world champion, Robert Whittaker. Hey, that's not mental warfare. That's not mental warfare, bro.
That's how you troll somebody.
Whitaker's throwing in little jabs, right? We never have seen him play this way leading up to a fight.
But you know, I think he might be tired of all the hype that Adesanya getting, and you know, and then Adesanya said that he'd be surprised if Whitaker even makes it to the fight, you know, because Robert Whitaker, you know, he's injury prone. So, and they fighting in Australia, so. I guess the UFC is hell-bent on him defending his title in Australia for some strange reason, but we'll see what happens. I think it'll be a good fight. I just think Adesanya has to fight at distance. I think Whitaker's going to have to close the distance. He's probably going to have to take a shot or two to close the distance, but as we are seeing, Adesanya ain't the hardest puncher in the UFC, but, you know, he does strike effectively. If you were to make me have the pick today, as much as I want to go to Adesanya, I would pick Robert Whittaker to beat him. Just because of how Adesanya looked in the Gastelum fight, and I think Robert Whittaker is better than him. So if I had to pick today, I would say Robert Whittaker beats him. But I like I like that we really haven't heard from Whitaker. You know, he's really kept kind of under the radar. You know, he's letting Adesanya do all the talking. So, but at the same time, Whitaker needs to help sell the fight. I mean, even though the fight is going to sell itself because you got the interim champion fighting the champion who never really won the belt. So, basically, this fight is really going to determine who is the undisputed middleweight champion.
Yeah, because this is kind of like we said before, Whitaker never really – well, we've said this a couple times. Whitaker never really – he never
won
beat
the
champion. Yeah, he never beat the champion, and then basically he never had a title defense. And then also, you know, the time when you would have called it a title defense, it really wasn't a title defense because Romero
didn't
make
weight.
Yeah, so even if he won, he wouldn't have been the champion. So it's not really a title defense in that way because he could have lost, and Whitaker would not have lost the belt. He would have lost
the
fight, but he'd still been the champion. So, I don't know. That's which would have been a weird thing. Like, I don't even know of another time when that's happened. But that just would have been a weird thing. Like, if Romero would have had won, and then like they don't put the belt on him, it would have just been like a really weird thing. Like, it sounds cool to talk about, but then it sounds like it makes sense. And then like if you just picture that happening, like Romero gets his hand raised, but then they still put the belt on the champion. Like, I just feel like the whole crowd would be so confused. Like, everyone thinks they get it until you see it. Like, if I was at the event and saw that, I would feel so lost because it just, like, it doesn't make sense. Like, you just saw the guy lose, but he gets the belt put around him. Like, you see that happen with a winner. So it would have been a really odd scenario. I think the crowd would have been really confused by that if Romero had won the second fight. It's probably a good thing that he didn't, so they wouldn't have had such an awkward moment.
Yeah, that would have been a bad look, especially for Romero with him not making weight and them basically still crowning Whitaker as a champ. And then other thing that would have meant was you would have got Whitaker Romero 3, and everybody would have been hoping and praying that Romero would make weight.
Well, the funny thing is actually someone come out with a theory on Twitter the other day, and this thing really, really it really hit me, like, when they said this. I was really blown away because they said they were like Romero, like, assuming Romero gets past Paulo Costa in August, that Romero's going to be on the sidelines after. He's going to win, right, and he's going to be chilling back. Then Whitaker is going to fall out of the fight, and then they're going to have Adesanya is going to fight Romero for the interim belt. And then Romero's gonna beat Adesanya, and then you're gonna have Whitaker versus Romero 3. Wouldn't that be crazy? Huh?
That's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, it would take a lot for that to happen. Because I mean, that's like I said, that's assuming Romero even wins in August. Then if he were to win there, he basically has like a immediate turnaround for a title fight, because by the time that's said and done with in August, it's pretty much you're coming up on September in like a couple weeks. He would put in, it's a title fight, so he'd probably have a longer camp. He'd probably be finishing the fight, win or lose. Well, lose, he probably wouldn't get it, but if he won, he'd probably have a hard fought battle in that fight. It's not an easy fight. And then he'd probably have a longer training camp, so he'd probably go right into training camp for a title fight after fighting Paulo Costa. So that would be the only way that would happen. It's kind of a stretch, but, I mean, with the way things roll, I could believe it.
Hello?
Yeah. With the way things roll, I could believe it.
Yeah, I don't really see that happening, though. The only reason I don't see that happening is because I think a lot of people, including yourself, feel that Romero won the second fight. So I think if Romero beat Paulo Costa, he would get a third fight with Robert Whittaker. He would get a championship fight with Whittaker. And then Adesanya will probably have to fight whoever the number two or three guy is or whatever. So he will have to fight his way back in the title picture. So I think that Romero will get the shot, and he won't have to fight Adesanya. I think Adesanya will probably have to fight maybe Chakare or maybe Paulo Costa or somebody like that. He'll have to fight somebody else. He's just not going to get an immediate rematch, depending on how the fight goes. But I think if Romero wins, he gets a shot regardless.
Yeah, I would think, like, let's just say, I don't know, I'm not saying this is my prediction. You know, we'll get to the predictions when the time comes. But let's just say if Romero were to go in there and knock out Costa in the first round or even the second round, if he knocks him out in any round, if Romero wins by knockout or even TKO in that fight at all, even if it's a doctor's stoppage, even if Costa's corner throws in the towel, Romero, I agree with what you said. He's going to be getting a title shot. If he wins the fight by finish, some kind of finish, he will get a title shot. If it somehow ended up being like an Ngannou and Derrick Lewis, where it's like, wow, you have these two beasts, this fight is so crazy, and then it ends up being a dud, like the way Lewis and Ngannou, then he would not get a title fight.
I agree with that, and that makes sense. If it's a lackluster fight, but these two guys really don't like each other, so I don't think it's gonna be lackluster. They've really been trash talking each other, and then Romero, you know, put it out there that the Costa fight was called off because he got popped by USADA. So these two guys really don't like each other. So I doubt if it's a dud. I think it'll be probably fireworks the whole fight. Paulo Costa has heavy hands. Romero has great cardio. Romero, if people watch the second Whittaker fight, when it looked like Whittaker was fading in the third, fourth, or fifth rounds, it looked like Romero was just getting started. So we'll see what happens, man. But I think if Romero wins, especially in dominating fashion, he will get a title shot. If he wins that as a dud, I think he'll have to fight on Adesanya to determine the number one contender.
And that's if Adesanya loses to Whittaker. I mean, when the time comes,
yeah.
If you ask me, like, I can't even make the analogy, like, oh, if I had to put my money on it. Like, I can't even say that anymore because it's like, usually if I put my money on it or I tell someone else to put their money on it, the guy I told them put their money on doesn't win. So then I end up looking like, you know, I end up looking bad because I kind of led them astray. And then if I don't tell them to bet on them, but I just give them, like, advice on who, I don't tell them straight up who to bet on, but I give them advice on who I think is the better pick. I don't say bet on them, but if I basically don't say bet on them, but give them some ideas about the fighters and then let them decide, then it works out. But if I officially say I bet on this person, usually they lose. So I just need to not say it. I would bet on Whittaker, but I would favor Whittaker in the Adesanya fight when it happens. I most likely will favor Whittaker because I just think that Adesanya is gonna dance around, and I'm a fan of him, but he's gonna try to dance around, and it's not gonna work. And the reason why is because those moments when he was going to get finished, if you watch back to the Gastelum fight, there was a couple moments where Gastelum could have finished the fight late in the later rounds. But Gastelum, I don't know exactly why, but I think he was just so exhausted and he probably couldn't even keep his hands up, which is fine because they were throwing like crazy. And Gastelum throws bombs anyways. He's a bigger dude, so they couldn't lift their hands up. So Gastelum was shooting low, and then it looked like he go for a takedown. He has Adesanya pressed to the cage right about at the waist, and now he's kind of just locked. His head is like locked into the cage. There was a couple of exchanges like that where he did that. And he could have finished the fight with his hands. The difference Adesanya going to have with Whitaker is that Whitaker is not going to burn out like that, and he's not going to try and start shooting for takedowns. He will finish you with his hands if the opportunity presents itself. You will get knocked out. That would be my belief about the fight, is that if it comes to that same situation, Whitaker will finish Adesanya. There will be no shooting low and no exhaustion. Whitaker is a cardio machine. He's going to have to fight 25 minutes, and if Adesanya can't lift his hands up in the fifth round, he's done for. Whitaker gets tired, but he still goes. You can almost barely tell that he's even exhausted.
And that's why I think Whitaker's going to win the fight. I think Whitaker's going to win the fight because he hits heavier. I don't think he's going to be intimidated by Adesanya's punching. He's going to have to defend against Adesanya's kicks, though. But at the same time, I just don't see Adesanya being able to do any damage to Whitaker with his hands unless he, like, clip him and then rush in and ground and pound, you know, something like that. But as far as, like, a one-punch drop him, I don't see that happening, you know. But anything can happen in a UFC fight.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. It's, you know, one other thing that just ran through my mind, too, was some news came out earlier today, and Piotr Jan in the 135 division, he had to have surgery on his elbow. Yeah, he has some type of injury on one of his elbows, and he had to go through surgery. Piotr Jan from the 135 division. He just fought. If anybody didn't
Jimmy
know who that
Rivera.
Was, he just beat Jimmy Rivera by unanimous decision. That was at UFC 238. And Piotr Jan and Aljamain Sterling both had impressive victories at UFC 238 that night. And I know I believe this, and I don't know how everybody else feels. I have seen a handful of people also say that they would like to see an interim title fight, being that Henry Cejudo is also just went through surgery, and he's not going to be back until at least the end of the year, if not
2020.
Early 2020. So the champion is out of commission for a little while. So it makes sense to have an interim title fight where you have, like, you know, either that or you have 6-7 months of the division kind of being on hold because the champion can't defend the belt until 6-7 months. So a lot of people, you know, I ran a poll and asked if people would want to see an interim title fight, you know, Piotr Jan and Aljamain Sterling. And about, you know, the results came about 75% of people said they'd be down to see it and they'd want to see that fight for an interim belt. So some people said, no, you know, don't really like the interim belt. But it makes sense in this scenario to have an interim belt because it's going to be a while with no title defense. So, and you have a couple top contenders right now. So in the meantime, they might as well fight each other. It doesn't even need to be an interim belt, really. They could just have the fight, and then we all know that that's pretty much a number one contender fight. If anyone's been paying attention, you know that that's a number one contender fight. So you don't even need to do interim belt, but just have the two of them fight because those are pretty much – if you ask me, the two best guys in the division right now. Jan just beat Rivera and Aljamain Sterling. And Aljamain Sterling just dominated. Hold on, let me just finish this thought. Aljamain Sterling just dominated Pedro Munhoz, and everybody was just singing Pedro Munhoz's praises like 3 weeks ago. Everybody was just probably like 4 or 5 weeks ago. Everybody was just singing Munhoz praises. Everyone said he should get a title shot. And then Aljamain just dominated him. And I'm not saying that Munhoz isn't good. He is high level and a dangerous guy. and he'll put you away. We saw him put Cody away. But y'all were pushing him too fast. And I said, Aljamain is going to dominate him. And he dominated him. It wasn't even close. The striking was like night and day in that. And I was so happy and I was so proud. Shout out to Aljamain Sterling. He actually responded to me when I tweeted at him not that long ago. It's my boy.
Well, I kind of disagree with the part about it shouldn't be for an interim title because it was explained or I guess you could say a secret handshake on the table that the winner of the Sterling-Munhoz fight would be the next person, the winner of that fight would be the next person challenged for the belt. So if Aljo was to go out and fight Mr. Yan and lose, then basically he has to get back in line. Whereas if he was to fight for an interim belt and he was to lose, then at least he could say he was in a title fight. You know what I'm saying? So I know that most of us true fans don't like interim title fights because it seems like it's a waste or whatever. But with Cejudo being out to late 2019 or early 2020, I don't think it's going to be more early 2020, then basically you could have Aljo and Yan fight in November, and then the timer should be set up whereas they'll fight in November, and then you could have Cejudo fight the winner of that the interim title fight to unify the belts when he come back. Because I don't see Cejudo fighting at 125, so I just don't see it happening. I think the Formiga-Benavidez fight should be for the interim flyweight belt, and basically Cejudo is not going to fight flyweight again, so it's just a formality now of the UFC discarding the flyweight division, so we'll see what happens with that. But if I was Aljo, if I'm not fighting for the belt and I'm not fighting for an interim belt, then I'm not fighting. I'm going to wait. I'll just sit out and wait. And I think Tony Ferguson should do the same. And me and you kind of were mad at Stipe for doing it. But we was like, well, Stipe, you got to get in there and fight because other guys are, you know, they're fighting. You know, they're not sitting out. But Stipe kind of lucked up into getting the rematch at DC due to the Brock Lesnar thing. But sometimes I think guys should sit it out. A championship fight is a big money fight. You know, Frankie Edgar, you know, Max Holloway pulled out of the fight, and Frankie Edgar took a fight against Ortega and lost his shot, you know, because he lost the fight. But then he fought again. And the UFC rewarded him for getting back in there. So sometimes it works out sitting out, sometimes it don't. So we'll see how it plays out. I wouldn't mind Yan versus Aljo for an interim belt. But if I'm Aljo, that's the only way I fight is if it's for an interim or for the actual belt. I wouldn't take another fight. I would just wait it out.
Yeah, that might be a good option for Sterling. Maybe just don't let. No, he could take that route and maybe just don't let Piotr Jan, like, bait him into a fight. But I think, guess the problem is that Jan is saying on Twitter that he's fighting for an interim belt in November. So, but Sterling is really already the number one contender. He's the number two guy in the division. And the number one guy just got finished by Cejudo. So you don't have to fight the guy who just got finished. He's the only guy above you, and he just lost. So really, Sterling is the number one contender. He just beat the guy who beat the guy who, you know, who was the former champion. So, like, Jan could just be trying to bait him into a fight. So so then he could get the opportunity to leapfrog him into the number one contender. But even if Sterling doesn't get baited into it, maybe the UFC tries to, like, push his hand and say, okay, if you don't take this fight, then we're going to have Jan fight somebody else in the bantamweight for an interim belt. You know, maybe they say we're going to have Jan fight Moraes for interim belt, and then if you don't fight, then you kind of lost your chance. These guys are jumping over you, and the winner of this is going to fight Cejudo.
Yeah.
So maybe something like that happens.
But I think Aljo would take an interim title fight. I don't think he would turn that down. I think he wouldn't take a fight that wasn't for a belt, whether it's interim or the real belt. I think because basically he is because if he take a regular fight, let's say Sanhagen beats a Sunsile, right? And then they say, well, hey, Aljo, how about you fight Sanhagen? You know, and we already know that Aljo is the number one contender, and he loses to Sanhagen. That pushes him back down. You know what I'm saying? So if I'm Aljo, no, I will only take an interim title fight, or I'm fighting for the real belt. There is no ifs, ands, buts, ors about it. That's the only way I will go. And if on his camp, we all got to be in the same agreement. That we either waiting until Cejudo come back or we fight for an interim belt. Outside of that, we're a no-go. We in the holding pattern.
I like that. Another thing that I want to jump into here was, you know, aside from the men's bantamweight division, you know, there's two ways we could go with this. You know, I wanted to talk a little bit about some UFC 239 stuff, which is next week. Well, we're going to do our predictions next week. That's a whole other thing. But I just want to do, like, a little bit of preview because I've been seeing all these really great promos. And specifically, you know, John Jones and Thiago Santos promos. You know, I've seen a couple promos just based on that fight. And they've been really good promos. So there's that. And then there's, of course, this weekend stuff. Have you seen any of the promos?
See, I saw the John Jones, Thiago Santos promo.
Did you see the one where they had it was a promo for the fight overall, but it only had Thiago Santos in it, and it was like he's holding the big hammer, and it looked like he was sharpening the hammer or whatever, and then he, like, swings it down at the last second.
Yeah, like
yeah,
Thor.
Yeah, it was like Thor's hammer. You know, I thought that was really cool how they did that.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people really are not giving him a shot, but he has a shot going into the fight because he's a heavy hitter. But one thing about when you fight John Jones is he takes away what you do best. And if you don't have a plan B, then you're going to get exposed as Anthony Smith, as Gustafson, as DC, as anybody who really he has fought. If you don't have a plan B or plan C, you're not going to beat him. You're just not going
to beat
him.
You better have a plan F.
Yeah, you might have to be able to go
yeah.
into your bag of tricks and be able to pull something out of your bag of tricks to beat John because, number one, he ain't going to beat himself. Number two, he really don't take a lot of shots. I think the most shots I ever seen him take was in the first Gustafson fight. And number three, he's going to do something to you that you never seen him do in a fight before. And there's no preparation for that. I think Santos, his thing is to come out really hard and fast, you know, apply pressure to John. But I think if he does that, he's going to get slammed and taken down to the mat. So we have to see what his game plan is going to be. Because I think Blockowitz really would have beaten him if Blockowitz would have stuck to his game plan, if Blockowitz had been deliberate, he was being slow, he was dictating the pace of the fight, and he wouldn't have tried something outside the norm of that fight, and that's when he got caught and got finished. And John don't make those type of mistakes. And, you know, we'll see what happens with Santos. I mean, he's young. He's very heavy-handed. And, you know, everybody got a puncher's chance.
Yeah, that's true. Everybody has a puncher's chance. So, you know, there's, like, certain fights where, like, you have such a big underdog and literally nobody on planet Earth has that underdog winning. Like, for example, when you had the Ronda Rousey fight and she was, you know, going to defend the belt against Holly Holm. And Holly Holm had just come to the UFC, so really nobody – that was her first fight in the UFC. Nobody even knew who – like, a lot of people really didn't even know her. And, you know, I had heard of her, but I'd never watched, you know, any of her footage or anything like that until I had seen her fight in the UFC. It was the first time I saw her fight. But I'd heard of her. I knew who she was relatively. But that's besides the point. It was just that, like, none of us gave her a shot to win. Like, I feel like she was probably, like, a plus. She was some crazy number for underdog. She was, like, a plus, like, 1,000 or, like, a 1,500 or something crazy. I remember it being up there and just thinking, like, wow. You know, if somebody had put money on those odds, you would have won a big amount because she knocked Ronda Rousey into next Tuesday. That was really crazy. And nobody expected that. So it's just sometimes, like, the fights, you really don't know what's going to happen. Like, but you have an idea because there's a dominant fighter and there's a, you know, either lesser known or someone who's just, you know, stylistically, technically not on the level. And that's kind of how this one is, where it's just like Santos doesn't have enough weapons to beat Jones, and he hasn't shown enough. You know, this guy lost to Eric Spicely. You know, he lost to guys like this who, you know, he lost to guys like this who, and no knock on Eric Spicely, he's good, but he's not championship level fighter. And I don't believe. And ironically, that's the middleweight division. Yeah, that was when he was at middleweight. But yeah, he lost to Eric Spicely. He's not championship level. And you're fighting Jones, who's the best fighter on the planet. So it's just when you look, I mean, they say MMA math doesn't really work. But in this case, I think it makes a lot of sense. I could see what you said playing out. You know, Santos goes in there and gets taken down. John starts throwing some elbows from hell, throwing elbows down to his face, and it's gonna get messy in there early. It's gonna be ugly.
But it all depends on what his game plan is. It all depends on, you know, what Santos' game plan is. Maybe he does something that we don't expect him to do. Maybe he come out there and try to take John down. And, you know, maybe he's been working on his ground game and his submission game. But from what I've seen and from what I've read from other fighters, he's not good on the ground. So that's why he always tries to keep the fight standing. But, you know, I think the fight on that card that I'm really looking forward to is Masvidal versus Askren, man. I'm really looking forward to that fight. I mean, I've been kind of disappointed with Masvidal not showing up to the media events because as a fighter and a professional, that's part of your job. So I've been very disappointed with him in that. But at the same time, this fight is definitely a fight that I think is going to maybe be fight of the night because I think Masvidal's style can counteract what Askren wants to do, which is take down the man, hump you for 5 rounds and maul you. I think Masvidal can get back to his feet I think Masvidal can do some things on the ground. I think Masvidal is definitely the better striker. So I'm definitely looking forward to this fight. That's the fight that I really, really want to see. Ben Askren versus Jorge Masvidal.
Yeah, you know, that's a really exciting fight. Yes, Josh. That's a really exciting fight. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing how, you know, because we saw, you know, a lot of people didn't expect Robbie Lawler to come out and get that crazy takedown on Ben Askren. You know, Ben Askren's first fight, and he just gets body slammed by Robbie Lawler. That was just so crazy. I remember when it first happened, and I remember when it first happened, I compared it to, I think it was King Kong Bundy. Oh, no, was it? No, it was Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan, when he fought King Kong Bundy from way back in the old wrestling days, he that was Hulk Hogan body slam. He used to do it like that. So basically, Robbie Lawler, yeah. Hulk Hogan slammed Ben Askren.
Yeah, because when he did that, I was kind of shocked. I was like, why would Robbie want to go to the ground against this guy? That makes no sense. But then, you know, the fight ended up playing out. But I thought the fight should have been stopped. I thought the fight should have been stopped, but it wasn't. And, you know, the outcome is the outcome.
I think certain referees would have stopped the fight when Lawler was kind of just raining down shots on Askren after the slam.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been mad if that fight was stopped because he was hitting him with some shots, and it was a lot of unanswered shots. So I don't think I would have been mad about the stoppage, but I think the UFC, I think they talk to the refs probably before they go out to the octagon, and, you know, maybe they put a bug in their ear or something. So, you know, but we don't know. Just like Lawler said, he wasn't out when the dude stepped in and said he was out. But at the same time, he was in that choke for a long time. So, I wasn't mad about that stop. But, you know, but I think this fight, there will be no doubts about who wins this fight between Askren and Masvidal. There will be no doubts about it.
Yeah, I don't see this one. I don't see this one ending in controversy. I could agree with that. I'm with you. I think we'll see a clear cut winner, you know, one way or the other.
Do you think the winner of the Askren-Masvidal fight gets the next title shot?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Because now
I'm thinking the same thing.
Especially, like, I'm a couple weeks ago, but, like, in the past couple of days, now they announced that Colby Covington is actually fighting Robbie Lawler sometime in August on, like, a fight night card.
August 3rd?
Pretty much. Like this. Yeah, Covington was the last interim champion and pretty much the number one contender. To fight Kamaru Usman, so now you take the number one contender and he's fighting Lawler, so he's kind of tied up. That kind of leaves the playing field open for the winner of Masvidal and Ben Askren.
Yeah, I think he was at the point now where he's just like, he just want to fight, and which I'm not mad about that. Because he hasn't fought since he fought RDA. So,
which is about a
year
ago.
I think he just want to get back. Yeah, I think he just want to get back in there. You know, I really don't. Man, I want to say this, but I want to say make sure I say it correct. Okay. I understand that, you know, fighters get hurt during the fight, or, you know, they may get hurt after the fight, or they may have been hurt going into a fight. Usman was hurt going into the fight against Whitley, sources say, or according to him. So he wins the fight. Okay, he gets diagnosed. They said he has to have surgery. Why do you wait a month after you are notified that you have to have surgery instead of having surgery immediately? That drives me crazy, man, because now basically you're on the shelf additional time that you wouldn't have to been, because I think the original thought process was he would have been able to fight by November. I think that's still where they at with it. But it's like, come on, bros, man. When y'all know y'all require surgery, man, get the surgery as soon as you can so you can get back in the octagon as soon as you can, especially when you're a champion. If you're a regular old guy, a mid-card guy or a fight night card guy, and you get hurt, then, you know, maybe you want to see if you could do some other things and see whether or not you can get better. But champions, I just suspect more for them. And maybe it's just me, and I'm wrong about that, but I just suspect more from the champions.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see some of these guys try to get back in there sooner than later, especially like in that scenario. It would have been nice to see him, you know, come right out of the fight and get the surgery, you know, the next day, next couple of days, so he can get back as soon as possible. But now we'll just see what happens.
Yeah, that's all we can do now. And see when Usman is gonna get back in the ring. Then, you know, we got Whitaker coming off an injury. You know, we got Daniel Cormier coming off an injury. You know, it's like, man, God dang. Now Cejudo's gonna be coming off an injury. Then we had Rose coming off an injury. It's like, man, it just gets to a point where it's like, I expect now, after every title fight, that we want to see the champion for at least 6 months.
Yeah,
that's
winner,
my expectations. Yeah.
It's like, if you won, if you're the champion and you defended the belt, you still got hurt. Champion and you just won the belt, still got hurt. Champion just lost the belt, they still got hurt. Like, each of those has happened in the past, you know, few months. We've seen each of those happen. Rose lost the belt, she got hurt. Cejudo won the belt, he got hurt. And think of the last person to defend their belt, and they probably got hurt.
Yeah, so it's like, I mean, it kind of puts the UFC in a bad position, too, because, you know, they want most of the pay-per-views to be title fights. And if your champions aren't available, then how are you going to do a pay-per-view if most of them are not available? So basically, you hoping that some of your more active champions, well, you hoping that the guys that do fight and don't get hurt, that they can get back in there in 2 or 3 months, well, in 3 or 4 months, so, you know, they can headline a pay-per-view card. Because, well, Max Holloway, I mean, he did fight Poirier, but before then, it had been a while before he fought. It was the Ortega fight.
Yeah, and nobody wants to get Frankie Edgar. I mean, that was a kind of a whack situation. He kind of like did that to save the event and then lost his title shot.
Yep.
And that's kind of the same situation as Aljamain Sterling is in right now, because it's like he could go, a champion's hurt, he could go and fight for the belt, you know, maybe at Madison Square Garden. But if he loses, he might lose his spot in line, and then now the other guy that beats him gets a shot. That's pretty much what happened to Frankie.
Exactly.
Is the risk.
That's
of
why
doing
I'm
that.
Out. Yeah, that's why if I'm out, though, I'm not fighting unless it's for a belt. If he got to be interim or the real one, I'm not fighting. But some of these guys need the money too, Keys. That's why they do it, because they need the money. It ain't like they making like a salary or nothing like that. You know, they get paid when they fight. So, depending on what they find out the situation is, then that's probably why Frankie did jump. I mean, I think Frankie fought Ortega because he wanted to fight again, and also because, you know, maybe it had been a while since he fought too. So maybe he just wanted to, like, get a fight in under his belt, and it just didn't work out the way he wanted it to.
And then, you know, so there's always that. And then one more thing get tongue twisted there for a second. One more thing we wanted to get through was this weekend's fight cards, which you have the Francis Ngannou and Junior Dos Santos fight. Now, I'm going to ask you about two fights. So there's that one, and then there's – so first of all, if you haven't and you're listening to this, go check out my article that just came out earlier today for the Scrap News, where I gave you all my picks for the underrated fights to watch at UFC on ESPN3 in Minneapolis. So go check that out, because I really dug deep and did some – you know, thorough analysis of the different fighters on the preliminary card this weekend, and tried to give you my best picks for which fights I think will be the most standout fights and the prospects to watch. And, you know, go check that out. That's on my Twitter. I changed my Twitter handle, actually. It's now @RealKeysMMA. So if you go to @RealKeysMMA, you'll see the link there. And I also got the article about Tony Ferguson, too. So, you know, speaking of the event, I want to ask you about two fights. So you have your boy Joseph Benavidez and Josie Formiga, which is basically like a number one contender fight for flyweight. Who do you see winning that fight?
Oh, man, this one is a hard one to pick. Hard one to pick, man. But Formiga, man, his ground game is so good.
Yeah, I'm going with Formiga myself.
I'm going to take Formiga because of his ground game, but Benavidez has been in some scraps. He has fought top guys before, and he's not scared of the moment. I wouldn't be surprised if Benavidez was the win. But I'm going to go with Formiga and his ground game. I think his ground game is going to overwhelm Benavidez.
Yeah, I can agree with that one. You know, Formiga, his top game is just too much. You know, we saw that in the last fight. Even though, you know, the last guy he fought was really not on the level of Joseph Benavidez, but I just think Formiga's, he might even want it more at this point. I think he might even want a little bit more. He's never even had a title. He's never had a title fight in the UFC, and Benavidez has had two or three. So he knows what that feels like. He's been there. He's been at the top of the division for a long time. I think Formiga's going to get it done. And then in the main event, you have Ngannou and Junior Dos Santos. And that one, I'm going with Junior Dos Santos, and I think I was leaning to pick him by TKO, but I think I'm going to say, I want to say JDS by decision. I don't think he's going to go and take Ngannou into the deep waters, and he's going to grind out a decision. But it's going to be impressive, though, because he's a good boxer. He'll probably keep it standing, and Ngannou will just probably be exhausted. I don't even think Ngannou can last throwing hands for five rounds. If it really goes that way, then I'd probably rather go with a TKO for Junior Dos Santos. Probably like a third round TKO, fourth round TKO. How do you see the fight going?
I think JDS's best chance of winning is to put Ngannou on his back, wrestle him. Let's see whether or not Ngannou has been working on his ground game. If Ngannou has been working on his ground game, then it's going to be a good fight. But if he hasn't, JDS can use his experience and probably gas him out by making him keep getting up to his feet, by making him scramble on his back. I don't think JDS is going to try to stand with Ngannou, because people that have tried to stand with him have basically lost via knockout. So you don't want to stand directly in front of Ngannou. So I think you have to incorporate the Stipe game plan, where you stay on your feet for part of the round and you put him on his back for other parts of the round. You can't do the same thing. Well, you can't just stand in front of Ngannou. So I think JDS will use his experience in this fight, and I think he probably win via I say he went by a unanimous decision. I think Ngannou will will himself to the end of the fight. But I give JDS experience the nod here.
All right. So, yeah, that pretty much wraps it up. We both have Formiga and we both have Junior Dos Santos by decision. So we'll see what happens this weekend, and then we'll be back next week to recap that. Also to preview UFC 239 and give both of our fight card predictions. And, you know, talk whatever else is relative next week. We'll be here to talk about it. So that's pretty much all I got there. And, you know, we always say spread positivity, spread love, pay it forward. You do something nice for somebody else, then they do something else nice for another person, and that train keeps on rolling. So do that, pay it forward, and think about reasons to be grateful today and tomorrow.
Yeah, thanks for listening tonight, for those that's listening. For those that'll be checking out the recorded version, thanks for checking out the recorded version also. Like I like to say, love, live, laugh. Tell somebody you love them, live your life to the fullest every day, and make sure you have a good laugh every day. Thanks to my man Keys tonight, you know, another good show. I had something I wanted to break up the last two shows, but I'll make sure I get it in at the next show. We'll talk about it down the road. But everybody have a good evening. Take care of each other. Take care of yourself. Peace.